Squirrel will say something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. He will.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. I've been playing with my remote control light bulb. I've got all these different colors I can have here in the background if I really want. I normally just have it on a white light. But I can do all sorts of things with it. And I was playing with it this morning because I could. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about, like remote control LED light bulbs, which are just so cool. We webcast every day at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time on Twitter and Facebook. We're no longer on Twitch, and I'll talk about that later. And the podcast is then available wherever you find fine podcasts, and we are a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there, and you are sure to find something worth listening to. Trust me on that. There's good stuff all over the website. All right, what do we got coming up today? We got prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We've got a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, and it's Monday, so we got Monday meanderings coming up. And during Monday meanderings, I'm going to fill you in on why we're not on Twitch anymore. Interesting happening last week. All right, well, let us begin, as is our practice, with the Prayer of Confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. And I'll remind you again that I have linked to the Anglican Church in North America's Book of Common Prayer website, where you can download a PDF for free of the 2019 Book of Common Prayer, or order yourself a print version if you'd like one. All right, let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. All right, we now turn to Daily Readings from the Life of Christ by John MacArthur, and today's devotional is entitled, Why the Priority of Humility? And again, today's devotional in the order we're doing them in, we're doing them in the right order, but we're skipping weekends, so we are falling behind. If you started on the first day of January, going through this devotional, and you've been diligent to read through it every day, you are way ahead of us here on the podcast, because we're just doing it Monday through Friday, and I didn't start it January 1st at the beginning of the year. So this is actually the devotional for February 12th, so just so you know. All right, why the priority of humility? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Dr. MacArthur writes, this beatitude was uttered first because humility is the foundation of all other graces and a crucial aspect to salvation. See Matthew 18:3 and 4. The door into Christ's kingdom is narrow and low, and no one who sees himself or herself as too large or too tall will ever pass through. It makes about as much sense to attempt to grow fruit apart from a tree and its branches as to expect the other graces of the Christian life to grow apart from humility. Until we humble ourselves and recognize our own spiritual poverty and our need of Christ, we cannot see and experience his gracious saving riches. Jesus said of the contrite tax collector, I tell you, This man went to his house justified, excuse me, rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke 18:14. No person can receive the kingdom of God until he or she realizes they are unworthy of that kingdom. The proud Laodicean church declared collectively, "I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing." But in reality, the members were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. People like the Laodiceans remind us of the story of the Roman slave girl who would not recognize her blindness, insisting that her world was just permanently dark. Until the proud are willing to be poor in spirit, they cannot receive the king or enter his kingdom. Ask yourself, we see that pride is the chief barrier between people and God, between sinful souls and Christ's glorious salvation. But what else does pride restrict us from experiencing and enjoying? What other residual costs does it incur in our lives? All right. And now, Monday meanderings. There is so much stuff in the news right now and things that I just couldn't care less about, especially coming after Easter weekend, thinking about the resurrection, thinking about the glories that are Christ and his work on the cross, thinking about the joy of the resurrection that comes after the sorrow of the crucifixion. All of these things that really just are so marvelous in our world. And then I get up this morning and I start looking at the news and it's just like, I don't care. It's not that I don't care. It's just that I don't want to dwell on these things. There's all sorts of things we could be talking about. We could be talking about Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light and Nike and you know, just the whole transgender thing, which is driving me nuts and is indeed the reason why we're not on Twitch anymore. I only had a couple of Twitch viewers, so there were not a lot of people watching on Twitch. Most of the people that watch the video watch on Twitter, and that's likely, if you're watching the video, that's where you're watching it. And then, you know, more people download the audio podcast than watch the video. So it's you know, I do it on video because I want to, but most people listen to the download, but those of you who like the video, here it is. I started the video because I always enjoyed watching the Rush Limbaugh Ditto Cam when I had the opportunity. If I was, you know, able to, you know, if I was running around listening to it on the radio, that was one thing. But if I was able to sit still and call up the Ditto Cam and actually watch him do his show, that was always kind of a treat. And I remember back in the early days of RushLimbaugh.com, coming home and watching, even though I'd listened to the show at work, I would come home and watch the Ditto Cam just because he was always talking about, I'm holding this up to the camera. If you're watching the Ditto Cam, you can see it. And I'd want to see it, or, you know, and it was just fun. So that's kind of why I do the camera. I enjoyed watching Rush Limbaugh's radio show, and I'm essentially doing a radio show, and there's nothing exciting on the screen. You can see my camp up mode. I mean, the most exciting thing is the fact that I can change the colors on that light in the background with a remote control. That just tickles me. And I've had that light for a long time, but I haven't really played with it that much. I liked it because I can dim it and adjust it. I don't normally do the colors, but I've got this huge color palette that I can do with that light. I've got purple and violet and red, green, just all sorts of colors. And each color palette has two settings for a light and a dark. So interesting stuff. Or I've got warm yellow light, or I've got cool white light. And I can make it brighter or I can make it dimmer, can almost make it go out, you know. So that's the light in the background that I can play with. That's just cool. I got this, I think. It's a GE bulb looking at the remote. And I got it either at Lowe's or Home Depot. It was just one of those things. Oh, that looks cool. So I got it. And there we go. So, you know. But that's about the most exciting thing in the video. So I don't, the video is not, you know, I mean, I got stuffed squirrels in the background, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But nothing that just yells, hey, this is neat. You got to watch the video. There isn't anything. But I do the video because I enjoyed the Ditto cam. And I mean, there wasn't much in the background of the Ditto cam either. An American flag and a neon Rush Limbaugh sign was about all you got. You just saw him sitting there talking, and that's what you get here. But we're not on Twitch anymore. Get back to what I was talking about. See, it's Monday meandering. I'm meandering. Last Friday, I was watching The Dividing Line live with Dr. James White, and I was watching on Twitch when the feed went dead. And it was interesting because he was talking about how the government and the government and their sycophants were going to be shutting Christians up, especially as we talk about transgender issues like Dylan Mulvaney and all of these other. And he had showed a video of some dude named Claiborne, who was on a TV show talking about how God made her in her own image. He's a dude in a dress. And so he was talking about all this and about how, you know, in countries like Canada, where they've just passed a law that you can't, if you misgender somebody, you might be fined up to, I believe, $20,000 for calling somebody who says they're her, he, when he is what they were born as, and he is what they will die as, and he is what they are. God made them male and female. So deal with it. Insanity is, by definition, the inability to accept reality, which means that the entire transgender movement is irrational. Now, homosexuality is sinful, but homosexuality, you have two men or two women, two men who know they're men or two women who know they're women, not a man who thinks he's a woman or a woman who thinks she's a man. So there's a difference. There's a sinfulness aspect to homosexuality, a sinfulness aspect. The whole thing is sinful, but that's a sin. With transgenderism, it is a sinful irrationality because it's a denial of reality. It's a denial of truth. It's a denial of the very existence. And it is indeed the fulfillment of Satan's false promise to Eve that, you know, you eat from the knowledge tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God. Well, you won't be like God. So don't be fooled by that. But that was the false promise. And so these people think that they are in charge of their own existence when they are not. They're not self-existent and they're not self-determinant. None of us are. But I think that's one of the issues that I take with Carl Truman's book, I think it's The Rise of the Modern Self, where he's talking about all of this, and he posits it as being indicative of individualism run wild. And I think there's an aspect to that. but and he's not denying the sinfulness of it. But I think he's missing out on that Genesis 3 aspect of you will be like God. And I think the individualism is a symptom. It's not the cause. And I think he has tried to hang a lot of the symptoms on one symptom. Now, it's a great book. It's Carl Truman is much smarter than I am, but I think he missed it in a subtle way there, just by not recognizing the godlike aspect of the belief that you can be self-determinant, that you can determine if you are a boy or a girl, that you can determine these things about you that you're not going to be able to determine because they're fixed by God. And so this claiming of a godlike authority, the individualism stems from that, but the individualism is itself a symptom. And that's the subtle difference that I have with Dr. Truman's take. But again, one of the smarter guys I know. Just this morning, I was listening to Kosti Hinn, his podcast, which sadly is not a Christian podcast community podcast, but still a good one to listen to. His For the Gospel podcast. And he was talking, he was interviewing Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis. Now, I have long been a fan of Ken Ham's, learned a great deal from Ken Ham, and just his ability to communicate. And I remember years and years and years ago, this would have been back in the early 2000s, that they sold a CD-ROM for like $5. It was cheap. That you could send in to Answers in Genesis for this CD-ROM. And it had hours and hours and hours of lectures in real audio format. This is, tell you how long ago we're going back. Were they real audio or were they MP3s? I'm not sure, but there were also videos in .mov, which is QuickTime, Apple stuff. And then there were articles, you know, print articles, PDFs of articles and books, and all packed on this CD-ROM. I remember getting that and just spending days going through that and just, you know, the articles and stuff, just what a help it was to solidify so much of that stuff in my mind. And it's been very useful because when I did the winter retreat up at Camp Utmost with the junior high and high school kids, I had a lot of kids coming up and asking me questions, and one of the chief questions, the chief areas, was creation and the age of the earth. Because these kids are getting in school the evolutionary atheistic worldview. Not only do they get it in school, they get it on PBS, they get it on the news, they get it on History Channel and Discovery and all of these things that are pumping out this atheistic worldview. And the church has, by and large, failed to present in a meaningful way the truth of the Bible. And the truth of the Bible is so important that we communicate that to young people. One of the books that I've given away, and I mentioned it before, I've got several copies up on the shelf. It's Dr. Michael Kruger's Surviving Religion 101. And it's written as a series of letters to his daughter who's going off to college, saying exactly what the college professors are going to say, why they're wrong, and this is the reason why they're wrong. And it's just a great primer on biblical truth. And it's stuff that we need to start teaching kids in junior high. We need robust youth ministries. Now, one of the key things about youth ministry is it needs to be undertaken by older Christians. The leader of the youth ministry in a church needs to be elder qualified and shouldn't be a college kid. Last week I had lunch with my old youth pastor, who is only 6-8 years older than I am. So now we're, you know, thinking we're the same age, because we are, you know, we're both gray-haired old guys hanging around at camp with all these teenagers. And yet, he was my youth minister when I was in high school. You know, so when I was 16, he was 22, 23, you know, the old man. And he did a good job. And I'm not faulting him at anything. But he and I were talking about the fact that you know, he wasn't mature enough in his faith to really be an effective youth minister. And I'm not saying that to fault him, because he did a good job. But we recognize the fact that an older individual would be a better person to be a youth minister. That's why they love getting old guys like me to be camp counselors, because I can hang out with the teenagers. I'm doing 2 weeks of camp this year. I'm gonna be there for the high school camp, which is co-ed. Five cabins of boys, four cabins of boys, four cabins of girls. They are separated. They're not next to each other. They're a little closer together than our tents were when I was in high school camp, because we had the girls' tents were completely on the other side of the camp from the boys' tents. But, this is we now have heated cabins. So I'll allow that. And because of water lines and power lines and sewer lines and everything, they didn't put them as far apart as the tents were in previous days. But I'm doing the high school camp, which I did last year. And I'm also going to do the 8th and 9th grade boys. And when they do the junior high camps, they have enough kids that they fill up all 8 cabins with either boys or girls. So they do an 8th and 9th grade boys, and they do an 8th and 9th grade girls, they do a 6th and 7th grade boys, they do a 6th and 7th grade girls, etc. And I'm doing 8th and 9th grade boys. I may end up doing 6th and 7th grade boys as well. It depends on how persuasive the folks at camp are in talking me into doing that. And just to let you know, during those weeks, squirrel chatter will be dark. Because we're not reading through the Bible this year, I'm not going to be striving to pre-record episodes and everything. I'm just going to disappear for during camp. And high school camp and 8th and 9th grade boys are consecutive weeks. So in the middle of June, we will have 2 dark weeks of squirrel chatter, just to give you a heads up. And I'll announce that more as the time comes, just so that nobody is unprepared by that. But, you know, they like having older counselors. And the Bible talks about older men teaching the younger men and older women teaching the younger women. That's the pattern that has been set forth in Scripture. So I think your youth ministry needs older people leading it. And I would love to see youth ministries and churches led by retirees. You know, take your time, pass your wisdom and love of the Scriptures and knowledge of God along to the young people, because that's the biblical pattern. And so, you know, I am gung-ho on youth ministry. because we need to communicate the truth to a young generation that is saturated with an atheistic worldview everywhere they turn. And that's why, I mean, we're seeing this. I was reading an article not too long ago talking about the transgender issue. And they say, this seems sudden to us. But what we are unaware of is that this has been being pushed on today's high school kids, which, you know, junior high and high school is where they're all transitioning, quote unquote. Well, this has been presented to them since first grade. They have been prepared. I don't want to use the word groomed, but they've been prepared for this. The groundwork has been set for 5, 6, 7 years until they're in junior high and high school. And then they're told they get to make these decisions. And they're encouraged to make the non-traditional decision because those who are brave enough to admit their transgender status get accolades. They're applauded. They're lifted up as positive role models. So the geeky little boy who's never going to be a world-class athlete is suddenly, you know, everyone's looking up to him because he's now a girl. And it just, it floors me that this is all going on, but it's the reprobate mind of Romans 1. So what is the church's response to be? Yeah. Teach the things of God to the next generation. Talk about it as you rise up, as you lie down, as you come in, as you go out. Talk about it constantly. Older men teaching younger men, older women teaching younger women, training up the next generation in the things of God. We need to be preparing. We need to be teaching the old people so they can teach the young people. And we need to be teaching the young people. And we have entertained generations of youth straight into hell. Because another pizza party and playing silly games isn't teaching biblical truth. Now, younger kids going to Awanas and playing the games and the sports and stuff like that, they're also getting Bible. And there needs to be an age appropriate. You're not going to get, you know, third graders to sit down and listen to detailed hour-long expositions of Scripture. But junior high and high school kids sure can. And it's important that we do that. They can ask questions. They have questions. And we have to quit treating them like little children. We need to treat them like burgeoning adults. Because they're already engaging in an adult world outside of the church. They're already engaging in these ideas with their peers, in their classes. And, you know, when they watch the news or PBS or Discovery, even when they're watching quote-unquote entertainment shows, look at how many entertainment shows have gay or transgender characters. I think every one of them's got gay characters, and many of them are starting to have transgender characters. Because Hollywood has an agenda. And we're not preparing our kids, and we're not countering that nearly strongly enough. That's one of the things. In talking about homeschool, I would severely restrict access to screens. I just, the ubiquitous, even just of television, or of computers, watching YouTube, stuff like that. Don't give your kid a smartphone. Let them get a smartphone when they graduate from high school and they can buy their own. If they have to have a phone, get them a flip phone that'll let them make phone calls and text. That's all they need to do. And generally, that's just so you can find them in Walmart. You know, you can pick them up at sports. They can call you and let you know that practice is over. Come pick me up. That's all they need. They don't need the vast, I mean, they don't need one of these. I probably don't need one of these where you can Google anything and look anything up. And even, I mean, folks, they get around the parental locks. Talking to a high school principal, and we were talking about actually one of the good students that was found sitting in her car during her lunch break, or lunch break or a study hall. And I said, this is one of the good students, all right? This is not one of the problems. This was one of the good students. But she was sitting in her car on her laptop, logged into the school Wi-Fi, and had bypassed the school's lockdown system, which restricts what they're able to look at on the Wi-Fi, and she was watching Netflix. She wasn't watching anything bad. She was just watching a TV show, killing time during a study hall or a lunch break. But this is one of the good kids, not one of the troublemakers. The good kids know how to bypass this stuff. The good kids know more about, I mean, the kids today know more about the technology than their parents. My generation was the first generation to really have technology, but we don't understand the new technology like the kids that have grown up with it. Yeah, I just looking at tech stuff, and I like, you know, I've built computers, I've built desktops. I've got one right here I built, sitting right there. The one I'm using is an Alienware. I didn't build that, I bought that. But I built a gaming computer that's up there. And now I'm looking about the fact that they've come out with even faster memory, DDR5. Faster RAM. So the computers are getting faster, the chips are getting smarter, the technology is phenomenal, and the kids that have grown up with it understand it better than we do. And they are able to get around the lockdowns. They're able to get around the parental restrictions. And so the fact is, you know, why does a 9 or 10 year old need unrestricted access to a computer? I think, in all honesty, we all use computers for schoolwork, and homeschoolers use computers for schoolwork and watching videos and looking stuff up and having access to it for school purposes is absolutely a good thing, and a useful thing. But like they say, put your computer in a public area of the house where there's no, you know, get a desktop for your minor children to use. Don't give them all a laptop. Get a desktop where they have to sit in a certain area where they are monitored so that you can see what they're doing. And restrict their screen time. You know, restrict the television. I was talking to somebody about growing up in the 70s and 80s when all we had was television. And compared to today, television was much more wholesome than it is now. But yet, the horrible ideas that I was exposed to growing up, I've mentioned before on the podcast and to others that You know, I got a lot of my ideas about love, dating, and marriage from The Love Boat. And that wasn't the best source. But that was every Saturday night. We watched The Love Boat and Fantasy Island. And as a family, it's a funny show. And like I said, compared to today, it's fairly wholesome. Although you had people sleeping together, at least everybody kept their clothes on screen. But I just, you know, I was, they came out like 77, 76, 77, that The Love Boat went on the air. So I was 11, 12 years old. Very formative years. And just really getting interested in girls. And so I'm watching The Love Boat. And I'm learning how to woo women from The Love Boat. And it caused some problems. It really did. I had some bad attitudes. I had bad ideas. I you know, the every weekend was supposed to be a new romance. Find a different girl. Yeah, it causes problems. And that was just television. We didn't have access to near what the kids today have access to. I think they're saying that the average age for the first viewing of porn is 7 or 8. 7 or 8 year olds looking at porn. I mean, I honestly don't remember, but I imagine my first view of pornographic film, I think, took place in when I was in the Air Force. And I honestly don't recall exactly. It was somebody's bachelor party or what. And that was when, you know, video rentals were fairly new. And you could rent the, but you at least had to go to the store and rent the video. You couldn't just type in a search in a web browser and come up with multiple porn sites, which will let you watch for free. Now they all have ads and they want to sell you stuff. You know, they're out to make money, but they'll give you, you know, it's the drug addict. The first taste is free to get you hooked. And we've got kids younger than junior high age watching pornography. And that's a lot worse than The Love Boat. What do you think that's doing to their ideas about love, sex, romance, marriage? And why do you think we're seeing an increase in brutal crimes against women? Gee, go figure. So the church has a lot of stuff that we need to be countering as we are raising young people. And this is one of the reasons why I'm a huge proponent of homeschooling or Christian private schools. I'm a huge proponent of locking down their access to the internet, locking down their access to video screen. Give them books. Teach them to read and give them books. They're going to learn more from books. You can monitor what they're reading. You know, you don't let them go to the public library alone, which is sad. Because I remember my mom used to be able to turn me loose in a public library because there was stuff they would not let little kids access to. Nowadays, the librarian's going, here, read this gay book, read this transgender book, which is just sad. So this is what we're looking at in our world, and this is what the church needs to be diligent about countering. So look at the youth group at your church. Look at your church's youth ministry and get involved in it. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your elders. Say, I want to help with the youth. And tell them what you see in the world. Tell them what the scripture says. Try to help them see that another pizza party isn't going to help these kids. There's nothing wrong with serving pizza at youth group. But serious Bible study, seriously talking about issues, you know, that's what's important. And there's good material out there. You don't have to invent it yourself. And so, you know, look at the stuff from Answers in Genesis. Like I said, listen to Costi's interview with Ken Ham. Just a great interview. But look at that stuff. There's material there for all age levels, you know, that you can help kids understand the authority of the Bible, because it does begin in Genesis, and looking at, you know, origins and the age of the earth, it's important because that's where the doubt is first sown. And not only pointing out that evolution isn't true, but we need to be saturating these kids with why it isn't true, so that they understand the issues and they understand all of that stuff. All right. Well, I had a couple other things. Taxes are due in a week. A week from today, your taxes are due. The 15th is on Saturday. And so because it's on the weekend, they give you till Monday to get your taxes in. If you haven't done them, make sure you do them. Render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But don't pay any more than you absolutely have to, because, yes, our government misuses our money. Also, remember April 15th in November when you vote. I've often said if I had a magic wand, I would do away with payroll withholdings and make everybody write a check to the Treasury every payday for the taxes they owe. Because if people actually had to sit down and write a check for the amounts that they just take out automatically every payday, people would be much more aware of how much they're paying in taxes. And when somebody ran on tax cuts and smaller government, people would listen, because then they would be aware. I remember, I don't remember what it was, but it was, I don't remember if it was a sitcom or a movie or what, but it was a kid getting his very first paycheck, and he had figured out how many hours he had worked and how much he made per hour. And so he was expecting a certain amount. Well, he got the check, and of course it was much lower. And so he's looking at the pay stub and the money that was taken out. And it was, who is FICA and why is he getting my money? Yeah, welcome to adulthood. So, you know, be aware. Taxes are due in a week. Another thing that happened this last week, Rosaria Butterfield, who was a lesbian college professor and a darling of the left, and who is now a Presbyterian pastor's wife and a born-again Christian, published an article last week, or the week before, I'm not sure exactly when the article came out, apologizing and repenting of using preferred pronouns. And she said it wasn't just wrong, it was sinful to call a man her or a woman he, or a somebody else Z or T or whatever weird, you know, calling a singular person they. All this pronoun madness. And she was part of that, not in supporting the transgender agenda, but in what they call pronoun hospitality, where you're trying to be polite, and so you use the pronoun even though you don't agree with it. And so that was she was once advocating that, but she has since rethought her position, changed her position, and put out an article repenting of her former position and calling it sin, because it was a denial of reality, it was a denial of God's created order, and that is sinful. And so she repented of it, and that's a marvelous model for the rest of us to consider. All right. That's Monday meandering for today. Let us recite our faith from the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now I have the collect for Easter Day, which was yesterday, from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. O God, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to die upon the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the devil and the power of death, grant us grace to die daily to sin, that we may live with him in the joy of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And then this is the week post-Easter, called Easter Week, and there is a collect for every day of the week. So this is the collect for Monday of Easter Week. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we who celebrate with reverence the Paschal Feast may be made worthy to attain to everlasting joys through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Paschal, of course, is referring to the Passover. And this is talking about the Lord's Supper, not celebrating the Passover. But talking about the celebration and the reverence that we should have for the Lord's table. And as I said, I have become a proponent of celebrating the Lord's table every Sunday. And I attend a church that does it once a month. And I'm certainly not critical of that and not sowing discord over that. But personally, if I were one of the elders or a pastor, I would possibly urge a weekly celebration of the Lord's table. All right. The Collect for the Renewal of Life, which is the Collect for Monday. O God, the King Eternal, whose light divides the day from the night and turns the shadow of death into the morning, drive far from us all wrong desires. Incline our hearts to keep your law, and guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the collect for the unrepentant. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home, and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Monday, the 10th day of April. I wish you the best of Mondays as you start your work week. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.